let's learn. We're up to Perek Chavches Pasik. We're up to Pasik Hey. Perek Chavches Pasik Hey. A lot of interesting stuff about Tsar. So a lot of Midrashim about the Negid and the Melech of Tsar. So here, Pasik, we're up to the last Pasik of this section. Pasik Hey says, Beroiv Chachmascha Birchulosicha. Due to your abundance, wisdom, you think, this is part of a rhetorical statement. Hashem is mocking through Yechezkel, the Negid of Tsar. And Hashem says to him, what are you so arrogant about? What is this that you claim, Vatoymer, going back to Pasuk Beis, Vatoymer, El Oni, how dare you claim that you're a God? How dare you claim, how dare you establish for yourself a Moshav Elohim, a dwelling in heaven, a dwelling of God, Yashavti B'Lev Yamim. Well, you're nothing. Are you wiser than Daniel? Are all of the secrets revealed to you? Daniel was much wiser than you. To him, indeed, all of the secrets were revealed. He was able to reveal the dream, the interpretation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where no one else succeeded. To him, all the secrets were revealed. And yet, learn from Daniel. Learn humility from Daniel. Do not make yourself into a god. Is it due? Now, what is the source of your arrogance? The economy. Tsar experienced the most vibrant, the most successful economy in the history of the world. And you, the Negid of Tsar, claim it's all due to your chachma. It's all due to your wisdom. Hashem is saying, is it really due to your chachma and your wisdom that you accumulated wealth? Now we go into the next pasuk, pasuk hey. Hashem is repeating the musar, he's mocking. Is it beroiv chachmascha? Is it due to the abundance of your wisdom? Birchulasicha, and the accumulation of merchandise. Hirbisa chelecha, that you have increased your wealth. Vayigba levavcha bichelecha, and you have elevated your heart due to your wealth. This is a rhetorical statement, question mark. Is this the reason why you are so arrogant? We all know that success in Parnassa has nothing to do with how many PhDs you have. It's nothing more than mazel. Veloy lachachamim lechem. There are many very, very wise people that are not successful. My mother always used to joke with my father. My father was an economist. My father was very, very successful, very good. He was very good in his field, in teaching me a lot of students. He wrote books. He was very successful. So my mother always used to, how come you're not a millionaire? If you understand the economy so well, you should know what to invest in. And the truth is, the things that my father invested in did not go all very well.
You're so smart, why aren't you rich?
Yeah, it's not totally in this chachma ha'iluchod v'ha'iluchod, and that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling to Melech, the Negid of Tsar. Don't get carried away with all your arrogance. So some very interesting words, I think, in one of the Mefarshim, we'll see over here, because it really expresses this in more detail. Let's see the Pasuk in the Mitzudos David, Beroy v'chi beroy v'chachmascha, b'marbis ha'sechoyra sh'asisa. Is it due to your wisdom and the abundance of merchandise shasisa which you have accumulated? Is it because of your wisdom that you increase your wealth at shagava lipcha b'ashrucha, and to the point where your heart became arrogant due to your wealth? Ucha imer, this means to say halo hakol. Here's the key words of the mitzvah. This explains the mockery. Haloi hakol ba miyar Hashem. Success is a gift from Hashem. Of course, no one's denying the fact that you have to do your hishtadlus. Okay, let's not fool ourselves. Okay, dvarm shudim ad ma'od. If you don't go get an education, you don't go get a job. You know, the biggest school to make a parnas is to go to work. Who we're fooling over here? You have to do your hishtadlus. But after everything is said and done, umalchol hiskos bezeh. What is this that you are so arrogant? Let's see. Rashi pasukei says there is no Rashi. Radak pasukei b'mirov mivuhu. This is self understood. Chelcha b'chelcha nechasecha itzvaecha. I think we did this yesterday. Made him do this pasuk yesterday. Okay, pasuk vav. Now, therefore, pasuk vav zlochem. Therefore, koyam Hashem lochem yan titcha es lavcha kilev elokim. Because you have set your heart like the heart of God. Pasuk zayin lochem. Therefore, hirani mevio alayich zorim. Hashem says to the negid. Again, we're discussing with the negid. We're not yet up to the melech. Hashem says, I'm going to set against you Zarim, strangers. This simply refers to Nevuchadnezzar. Nevuchadnezzar will come up against Tsar. Aritze Goyim. This is a very important term. We are defining the army of Nebuchadnezzar as the tyrants. In Aritz, Aritze is a term, an interesting term. In the Mitsudos, Tzion, he translates Aritze in Chizok. It means strong. But I think other it has a more of a connotation of a tyrant. A tyrant, you know, has a bully. A bully, a tyrant. It's not just people that are more powerful. The word Aritze carries a connotation of an attitude. An attitude of arrogance and bullying. Haritzim. Okay, it has a connotation that we find in our tefillos of an enemy that has an attitude. It's one thing if your enemy is a nice guy. I always remember. I don't know why I can get that in my mind. I remember there was someone talking to my mother about a shidduch was going on for a long time until he finally clinched the shidduch. And this woman said to my mother something so bizarre. My mother always used to repeat this. She says that she said, he's a nice guy. The chassan's a nice guy. And in the event that they'll get divorced, he'll be nice about it. He'll be nice. Like he won't go make her an aguna and hold her up for a lot of money and this and this. In case there's a divorce, he'll be nice about it. Like, what? Here you're doing chas and kala. What are you talking about? Like, what? What are you saying these crazy things? Okay, but there is a kernel of truth in that. You have an enemy, there's an eighth sara, Rakhir Rahman Lutzlan, an eighth sara. Are you nice about it? There has to be separation. There has to be some type of separation. Are you nice? The word aritza means you're not going to be nice about it. You're going to be brutal.
Need somebody can you negotiate with?
Right. I mean, it's more right. It has a lot of meanings. Can you negotiate? Is the person the mensch? Whatever all of this means. So aritza goyim means it's a very harsh term. Sometimes there's an enemy. The enemy is going to defeat you, going to conquer you for whatever the reasons are, financial reasons, whatever. Geopolitical reasons, but to be a tyrant and to be a bully, that really is a very painful thing. And that is the nation of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babliim and the Kasdim. V'heiriku charvoisam al yifi chachmascha. They will unsheath their swords on the yifi chachmascha, on the beauty of your wisdom. The chilulu, and they will profane yif osecha. The word yif osecha is a unique word. It means your countenance. Your shine. Hoifia mehar paran.
Translated as your brightness.
Your brightness, your shine, your brightness, and they will profane, they will destroy your beauty, and your shine will be dulled and destroyed when the enemy comes upon you. Let's see the Pasuk Zayin in Siddur David. The Zorim, Amim, Nonochrim, these are Goyim, the foreign nations, Umos Chazokim, Himakastim. So we refer to the Kastim. That's Nebuchadnezzar, at least according to the Parashat of the Metzudas. There could be many interpretations over here who are these nations. Maybe it refers to Parasumadai. Maybe it refers to, as one of the commentators says, refers to Alexander Moiton. It refers to the Greeks, Alexander the Great. So, but over here, the Metzudas learns very simple, which is the common understanding. We're dealing over here with Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to be the one that's going to destroy the first round of destroying Tsar. He will unsheath the Heriku Yish Lufu Harbam Mitaram. They will unsheath their sword from their sheath. Al Yifi Chach Mascha. Return Lema Lotia Nezar Limolait Bifi Chach Mascha. He will not hold back to save. Lotia Nezar Limolait Bifi Chach Mascha. Your beauty. In other words, we find they will disgrace the shine of your understanding. They are good qualities. They are good quality. They have a lot of wisdom. So maybe they should let you live and they should make use. Put your talents to good use. Look, if you find this with ISIS and Al Qaeda and the Taliban, when they go and
in Germany, they go and
the beauty of the country, all of the artifacts and the palaces, they're just brutal. They don't care for the beauty and the culture, the things that exist in the country. They preserve. What? They did preserve?
They stole it.
They stole it. All the paintings on the cabinet. And they stole, in Germany, they stole all the artwork, the paintings, and the valuables, and they took it away from themselves. But look what goes on. Look what goes on in Afghanistan, in Iraq, when what?
Yes.
They don't preserve it.
No, not in Germany.
In Germany, it's the opposite. There, they preserved it.
But at the same time, Germany still killed out even the scientists who couldn't help them.
Yeah, but they also took a lot of scientists and put them to use.
Right. But Germany was Western civilization.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the difference.
But the other reason for it, they think everything else is Avodah Zarah.
That's why they destroy it.
They claim, okay, it's all right, but over here we learn over here the nature of the Babylonians, the Kastim, they have no appreciation for the arts, no appreciation for anything of value. Anything of value was completely, this is an idea which was repeated, over and over. They're barbarians. They have no appreciation for technology and society and culture and art. They come into the country and they wipe out the entire thing to their detriment. They're fools. They're foolish people. They can take all of the beautiful things and they can use it for themselves, and instead they destroy it. That is a very disheartening attitude when you're dealing with such a type of enemy. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin says, "V'heiriku charbo yisam kimashmo'o." They're going to unsheath their swords and they're going to destroy you, Tsar. They're going to destroy your country. They're going to kill him. That we learned yesterday in the Medrash is that the end was Nebuchadnezzar came and captured Chiroi Melech Tsar. He imprisoned him and every day had him for lunch. Every day he cut a slice of flesh the size of two etzbaos. What is the significance of two etzbaos? I do not know why. There must be some deeper meaning in that. But he sliced a piece of his flesh every single day for lunch. He dipped it in vinegar and he ate it for lunch until he died, a misa mishuna. So that's what it says. Heriku charboi sam u'medush agada. So here we have over here. This medush appears in many places. Rashi quotes mishkav zachor. Okay, he's going to unsheath his sword. This is really a euphemism. This is a metaphor. Mishkav zachor shenival kinoshim. He's going to have relations with him, marital relations with, as a way of humiliating a tsar. Shalosha, there were three individuals who made themselves like gods, and they suffered this fate. This is the most humiliating thing in the world. Shalosha asu atzmam Eloah, v'nivalu kinoshim, Yoash ben Achazia, he was a very great king. Yoash, he was one that was hidden in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for six years. Asalia, she became the queen. She wiped out all of the Zera Hamalucha, and Yehoyada and his wife were Meiser Nefesh to hide this little baby Yoyosh in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the Cheder HaMitos, which either means Mamish in the Kodesh HaKodoshim or on the roof above the Kodesh HaKodoshim for 6 years, until they were able to organize a coup, conspiracy, a kesher to overthrow Asalia. So people said about Yoash that, look, you lived in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, the place where it says that no man may go. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, anyone who goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim will die. The Kohanim HaGadolim who go in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, if they were not tzaddikim, they would die. And you live there for 6 years, it must be that you, Yoash, are a god. So he liked that. That sounds good. And even though in the beginning he may have denied, no, don't make me into a god, you know, a little humility. Ultimately, you know, it's settled in, you know, indeed, I am a god. And that, he suffered the fate. He suffered the fate. Yes, Yoash asu shifatim. What happened to Yoash? Yoash did shifatim. I guess was who did this to Yoash? I guess this was the power of the Egyptians. I'm not sure who conquered Yoash. Who conquered Yoash? Was it the Egyptian power Necho? I don't know. But the asu Yoash asu shifatim. Yoash suffered this fate that he was nival, as if he was an Isha. In other words, this happened to him. The Chiram u Nebuchadnezzar, and the other two was Chiram and Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar did it to Chiram. But Nebuchadnezzar ultimately suffered the same fate. And that's what the Targum, that's what the Medrash learns in Elbihi in reference to this pasuk of, they're going to unsheath the sword against you, Chirab. Yifasecha, what is the word Yifasecha? Hoifa oscha, your appearance, your countenance, your shine, your glory. L'shoin toyar panim. The toyar panim, b'hamidrash darsho yoifi itcha, darshins, the word yoifi means your time. Now why is the word yoifi, and I go back to the pasuk. I don't have that medrash in front of me, so let's leave it for now. Yoifi, the pasuk simply says pasuk Zayin, v'heriku charbosam al yifi chokmas, v'amidosh dosho yif osecha, the beauty of your time. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. I don't know.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it's translated.
The beauty of your time.
The source of this medrash.
You don't have a source?
Unknown source.
Okay, I don't have it on the page over here. I don't recall seeing it in the green. Yoifi itcha, the beauty, that's the word, hoifia mehar paran, which I guess means has something, is that everyone has their time. People, there are kufas in your life when you're in your prime. Everything is 50 minutes of glory, and you wait your whole life. You wait your whole life for that moment when everything comes together and you have your day in the sun. And it's that much more painful that when you achieve, you're at your prime and you're at that moment, it's snatched away from you. And that's a very great pain. And here it seems to say is that what it means over here is that Yichirom, you were reaching your prime. You came to the point where Tzor achieved perfection, and now you're ready to go to the next step. And just at that moment when you now wanted to relish in the limelight, that's when Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed you. So it's all that much more painful that the Chorban came at the time of your beautiful time. Okay, let's see what Radak. Radak Pasik Zayin says, okay, this is a grammar. Your beauty will be destroyed in your downfall. It means the accumulation of wealth, the accumulation that you increase due to your wisdom. Your shine, min hoifia mehar paron, Hashem shone from the mountain of Paron. Yif-o b'shekel, similar to its grammar, l'shacha. Now let's go to the next pasuk. Let me just make sure I wrote down some things here. Okay, no, let's go further. Pasuk ches. Pasuk says, l'shachas yoriducha, they will take you down to the grave. V'mata, and you will die. And it says here, mimosei cholol b'lev yamim, plural. Mimosei means many deaths. You'll die 1,000 deaths in the heart of the sea. Now, what's the significance of this, of multiple deaths? Pasuk Ches Nemetzudos, L'shachas El Bora Kever, Yoyridu Oyischocha Oyev, the enemy will bring you down to the pit, the Samus, and you'll die Gamato Me'en Misashar Chalolim Im Ki'ata B'lev Yamim B'mokha Meshumar, even though you are in a place that you feel is secure, your security will not save you. You will die, even though you are belev yamin, which means you're in a remote area where you feel that you are secure. It's not going to make a difference. Rashi pasuk ches says there is no Rashi. Ken Radak pasuk ches says l'shachas, into the grave. V'mata ein boy min hasharish kim hamem ikaroi. The word v'mata, the mem is the ikar, machta b'shekel shafta kamta. Okay, I don't know what this means. Next words, next radak, mimosei. Okay, this is also a little grammar. Shame bepeles, it's a noun in the same grammatical form, kim vo'ei ir mivuka'a. Now, here he goes on to explain what's the significance of it being written b'loshon rabim. The tam haribui amar tomus misos rabos. Okay, we all know the expression to die a thousand deaths. So maybe it comes from here. Maybe there's a makar from over here. Kiloimar bidikirois cherev rabos kimo misos. They're going to stab you multiple times. Yoshiyahu, when he died, it says there in the Medrash that they shot 300 arrows into his body. The number 300 is always a guzma. It always means the most that exists, the most that can possibly exist. The last two letters of the Aleph Beis, sometimes Chazal used the number 400 to express the most. Sometimes they use the number 300, shin, to express the most. And there's a lot of interpretation why sometimes they use 300 and why some Avram, he took 400 men. Esav came against Yaakov, the Arba Meos Ish Imo. And you look in the Gemara sometimes when it talks about these different guzmos, it says 300 and sometimes it says 400. So the common answer is whenever it's something which is physical, material, the ultimate number to express in materialistic objects is 300. In the world of spirituality, to express the extreme is 400. When Esav came against Yaakov, he came by Arba Meos Ish Imoi. He came for a spiritual war. Esav didn't just come to conquer Yaakov physically. He came with 400, the highest number in the spiritual world. When Paro Nechol shot arrows, he shot 300 arrows. He wanted to physically conquer. It was not necessarily, Paro Nechol was not necessarily a spiritual milchama against Yoshiahu. He shot 300 arrows. I can't think of exactly.
Symbolic?
Yes, 300 symbolic.
It doesn't mean actually 300. It means a lot.
It means a lot. 300 is the second to last.
Yes, could go into
300 and 400 are the last two letters of the Aleph Beis. So when the Chazal used these numbers, 300 and 400, it represents a concept of the most. The most is an exaggeration. Does not necessarily mean 300, does not necessarily mean 400. It means the most you can possibly do. Maybe it means even more. It means the most you can possibly do. Why sometimes do they use the number 300 to express the most? And why sometimes they use the number 400? Because 300 represents gashmius. 400 represents ruchnius. And you'll always see in the Gemara, there are many examples, I don't have them in front of me, you'll always see in the Gemara. Abramel Shekel Kesef, Eidel Asechah, for how much? For the Maris Machpelah. So Maris Machpelah, which means this is a spiritual acquisition. A spiritual acquisition, he paid 400 coins. Again, Esav against Yaakov, he came to greet him, Esav against Yaakov, 400 men. He's coming, a spiritual battle is taking place. What? It's also true. But hashkacha pratis. Elu vi elu divrei Elokim chaim. Of course.
Except when you don't.
Elu, that's the whole of our Rashi. That was the whole story with Rashi. Rashi in Rashi's time. Ain boss elu lefarish. Rashi in his time, there was a machlokes. Is everything in Torah a mashal? Or is Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuta?
The answer is Arba Meil Shana, as opposed to when it said 430 at the end. So
spiritual achievement. They were in Mitzrayim. You'll notice this that throughout Chazal, you learn Daf Yomi, you're going to have it every so often 300, 400. Look, is it a physical ribui or is it a spiritual ribui? So here we have just a multiple misos, multiple arrows, 1,000 deaths. They're going to stab you multiple, doesn't say over here any number, but the reason why I suppose they're going to stab you multiple times. Where do we find a person being stabbed multiple times? The first person that was stabbed multiple times, Cain and Hevel.
Right.
Cain stabbed Hevel. He didn't die so fast. Because he didn't know anatomy. He didn't take a course in college to know where the heart is, to know how the neck, to know all the gruesome details that all the children know from watching these horror shows. So where exactly is the goof is Yotze? So he kept on stabbing him multiple times. So that's the Chol Sheyid Kuru, the Kirois Rabois Ad Sheyamos. Someone who drowns does not drown. Why is it Believe Yamim? So it's also very bizarre that drowning also takes a lot of effort. The person doesn't drown so quickly; he has to be drowned multiple times. Plural, in order to indicate that it is a struggle. We mentioned last week about Chav Sivan, the massacres of the Khmelnytsky massacres of Tach V'Tat in 1648-1649. So we don't. It's not even known. No one even knows exactly how many Jews died. The estimates go between 50,000 to 500,000. People today, they say it's probably somewhere in the middle, probably like 300,000. So they say, like we said, is that killing three? How do they kill them? They killed them by sword. They were all killed, literally, by sword. Killing the effort to kill 300,000 people by sword was far, far more the effort that the Nazis needed to kill 6 million Jews. Because killing 6 million Jews, they used technology. They used trains, they used gas, they used bullets, guns. They used, the horrors of how they maximized, they were able to kill people with one bullet, to kill multiple people, to line them up. The horrors, you read some of the things that in the Holocaust are just unbelievable. But in the time of Tach V'Tat, there were no guns in 1648. There was no gas, there was no trains, there was no technology. They killed people by sword. You know how much effort it takes to kill a person by sword? So it's just mind-boggling, the horror that happened during that time. Okay, so here goes on to say, Now, over here in the Sefer, the Mincha Gedolah, you don't have this in your edition, he just points out that the Midrashim is a very common theme, is that there are Midrashim, what's the expression? Chalukos? Midrashim with Chalukim, that conflicting Midrashim. We learned yesterday is that the pasuk of here is Mashmah, he died, and the Gitzar died a horrible death, a Misa Mishune. He was Nivolah to Nebuchadnezzar. That's in addition to what we learned yesterday, that in front of him, Nebuchadnezzar had relations with his mother, and he ate up his flesh piece by piece until he died a Misa Mishune. But there's another Medrash that says that he went into Gan Eden alive. He was from the few people. It says from the Shloisha. Read you the words of his Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. Shehu ha ye echad mishloisha author. 13 people. It says that there were 13 people. Shloi toamu tam misa. And the echad, and then the, from those 13, there's another 9, or the, maybe the part of the 9. The echad mitisha shenichnesu chayim legan Eden. And one of them was Tsar, Chiram Melech Tsar.
Could have been the Chiram that was in Shleiman.
Okay, that's the question. That is the question.
Which was
Tsar. So I read you what he writes over here. I read you over here. Let me read you some of the words of it. I'll go slow. Ach Koshel Yashiv Divrei Hamedrash Rishon Shamarchi Ach Koshel Yashiv Divrei Hamedrash Rishon. That I just told you that he did not Toyim Tam Misa, and he entered into Gan Eden alive. Because we just learned over here in this psukim, the negid of Tsar, which simply is the same thing as the Melech Tsar, he's going to die in Misa Mishuna. It's a prayer shaposik. They're going to take him down to the grave, Vamata, Mimosei Cholol, Belev Yamim, which implies the Misa Mishuna. V'al Korchoch Tzrichim Anu Loimar, Shezehu Chirim Acher. Like what you said, that's a different Chirim. There's more than one chiroim. Ela Shirashi Zalpeh Rashi, but Rashi doesn't say that. Now, I don't know which Rashi is referring to. Shezehu chiroim shesiya shlomo bibinyan habayis. There's a Rashi somewhere that says that it's the same chiroim who's living now, 400 years later, who built the base HaMikdash at the time of Shlomo. Uvedoichak loimar shezehoya habayin, all ben haben shel chiram harishon. It's shahoy b'mei Shlomo. V'shoyis chiram harishon loytom tamisa v'nichnas chayim gan Eden. Umal lakasav al bnei gam kain kiluhem siu b'minin gam kain. It's a doichik to say that this is referring over here to grandchildren. V'yav shakvar hoyu noladim b'mei Shlomo. Hoyu m'sam. We're going over here very quick. What is over here?
Okay.
Rashi. Not. I don't know. We didn't come across Rashi. Maybe it's Rashi in Sefer Melachim. Maybe
it's
so. Rashi.
No, there it's four. In Tanakhuma,
right?
It's four. That, no, yeah.
Oh, he goes on to say they rose. Ish kasha loy mashaherich yamim kolkach mime shlomo arachshav yoyser me'arba me'al shana v'tzaruch iyon. Okay, so then somewhere else over here in passing, I remember where Sully says there are conflicting midrashim.
No, but you could say, Chef, that you had such a grandfather that was such a...
Okay, he mentions that.
And you became
that. You became so
that's
evil.
That's why you're getting it.
Okay, you want to say that it's you should have learned from your ancestors. It's all part of the family. He mentions something like that.
Speaking of conflicting midrashim, you cited one earlier that said that Ruchai Netzer. Nebuchadnezzar ate the flesh of Hiram, and yet elsewhere we're told he
ate rabbits.
And he would have been scandalized if anyone had found out.
Well, that was before and after, maybe that this is a much later point in time, and also it is a punishment. It's one thing to eat the rabbit just for taiva. Here he's eating his flesh as justice.
That's less scandalous.
I don't know. It's different. He's eating it as a way of humiliating him, of punishing him. I don't know. It doesn't sound too good either way, right? All right. Easy to laugh about now, right? Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk He'amor, Toimar, Elokim Ani Lefnei Horgecha. Hashem is mocking Chiram. Hashem says, "You're God. You claim that you're God, and you sit Moshe Elokim." When the executioner comes for you, are you going to tell him, "I'm a god"? They're here to kill you.
Okay,
you're on death row. You got the wrong guy. Amor toimar, will you say Elokim ani lifnei gecha? And Hashem now goes again, knocks down the last nail in the coffin. Remember, Chiram, v'ata adam, you're just a human being. V'lo el biyad michalilecha. In the hand of those that are going to profane you, meaning they're going to kill you, mechalecha loshav cholo, the one that's going to make you into a corpse. When the executioner comes for you, you will recognize that you're nothing more than a human being. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasik Tes. Pasik Tes says, "Hamar v'chilif nei habam halo harget lohar largecha toimer Elohim ani v'lam targeni yuchaimer im Elohim ato lo yuchal largecha." Are you going to tell them that you're God? If you're not going to tell them anything, it's not going to make a difference. They're going to kill you. V'yato aval be'emes ato adam lo el b'yato isim oischa lechalol v'harug. You're just a human being in the hands of those that are going to kill you. Rashi pasik tes mechalalecha kmo horgecha loshon of cholol. Radak pasik tes halmor toimar mechalalecha kmo mehorgecha v'chu mebinyan hagod adogush v'nofal mimenu hadogesh v'yovo hu min cholol chalolim. Okay, so this means the word cholol, those are going to make you into a dead, to a corpse. You're not going to be able to save yourself. Next pasuk yud, Moisei arelim tamus biyad zorim. You're going to die the death of an orel. An orel here means a person who is uncircumcised, which in this context means a person who's a wicked. Right over here, the Mitzudos says a rasha, the death of a wicked person. Arele lev chintirgum yonasan rishiaya, the death of a wicked man. Tamus biyad zorim. The zorim refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Ki ani dibarti. Hashem says, I guarantee this. Nu'um Hashem. So says Hashem. Mitzudos Mosei arelim kemisas rishoim arelelev kein tamus gamato biyad zorim v'lemisas atzmecha. You're not going to go die your own pleasant death. Ki ani dibarti uviyodi l'kaim divari. I have the power to fulfill my words. Period. Let us see. Rashi, no Rashi, Radak, Pasuk Yud, Mosei arelim tamus, Mosei shame. Okay, this is also some grammar. Amar min moves mosim kmo min oven onim uvesamuch mosay v'chin v'yes ashir b'moso arelim b'ketargumo rishi ayah kiloimar arle lev. Person who is uncircumcised of the heart, stubborn. I'm not really sure what that means. It basically means a wicked. You're going to die a very wicked death. Okay, now we go to the next section, which is. There's a very big difficulty here in what's going on, and that's why we really discussed all this before. Okay, we don't have to go through all this again, and that is, we're going to repeat the same thing again and again. The only difference here is, it's the Melech Tsar instead of the Negid Tsar. So, are they the same person? So that's the big debate. A lot of the Mefarshim say that they are the same. Why the repetition? I don't know. Others say no. One was the finance minister, one was the king, one was during an earlier period of time of the Nebuchadnezzar, one was a later point in time of Parasu Modai. There were different people, so that is what we have to keep in mind. All of these different interpretations. Let's see. Pasuk Yidal v'hi devashem leleimar ben adam sa kina al melech tzar, not the negid, but the melech of tzar. The amar to the law and say to him, kol amar shem lukim. What?
The Malbim, the Malbim, what he does is,
we'll read the Malbim soon. I know we're going to read the Malbim. Ramos, he talks about Shlomo Melech. He's a very good Malbim over here. We're going to read. I underlined it. We're going to read the Malbim in a few moments. So let's just see. Go through the Pesukim first and just get a basic idea of what's going on over here. Ben Adam Sokin al Melech Tzar. The amar to say to himself, kol amar shem lukim. Atoch chaysem tochnis. Now, here there are different ways to learn the Pshat and the Pasuk. Some learn this as more as a rhetorical statement. Ata chosem tochnis, are you the one who sealed the tochnis? Now, tochnis means preparation. In this context, in the Mitzudo Sion translates, it means loshen hachono umesukon, the prototype, preparation. Okay, something that is prepared and is fixed. I think in this context it means the prototype, the model for all future. Of a factory, you have to start off with a prototype, and from there you mold everything in its image. Are you the one who is chosem tochnis, who sealed the original version of everything that will come in the future? Are you the one who is molei chokhmah, that is filled with wisdom, uchelil yofi, and it represents the totality of beauty? Who do you think you are? You are nothing. You make yourself as if you are your God. Or see, over here it's a little different. Over here it doesn't say God. That's part of the very interesting thing over here about that. You look at the differences between the way we describe the negid of tsar and the melech of tsar. The negid of tsar described himself as God. I am a kel. I am b'moishav elokim yashavti. Here, the Mefarshim seem to say, do you think that you are Adam HaRishon? It's a very big difference between being God and being Adam HaRishon. They're both expressions of a great gaiva, but they're very different. Being God is God. Being Adam HaRishon means, I'm not God, but I am the perfection. I am the superior race. I am the perfect man. I am the Yetzir Kapa of God. So it's a different type of gaiva. You would think that the Melech of Tzar thinks he's a god, and the Negid of Tzar thinks he's Adam HaRishon. But look, it's reversed. It's the Melech of Tzar who thinks he's Adam HaRishon, and it's the Negid who thinks he is God. That's usually the way it is. The assistants, you know, the people on the assistants, they have more gaiva than the people who are on the very, very top. The people on the very, very top, they realize they're nothing. The people who are on the lower level and working their way up to the very top, they're the ones who have more gaiva. So it's a lesser degree of gaiva, but let's not get carried away here. It's pretty arrogant as well. Let's see the Mitzudas Pasik, these two Sukim, Yudaf and Yudbeis, Pasik Yudbeis in the Mitzudas, Choysem Tochnis, Tzura Muchan, a form that is prepared. Umisukon b'chol davar v'choizim afarish. Do you think that you are the choisam, the object that is prepared, the perfection of everything? And now we are explaining malichachm v'chol yoifi, the choizim afarish malichachm v'goymer. Rashi pasuk yud beis ata choisim tochnis ata hu malichachm lachtoim. You're filled with wisdom to seal the lit boa. The boa means also to press your seal al tavnis vitzura on forms and images. What?
Patterns and shapes.
In other words, you feel that you're the prototype. Everything that comes in this world will be modeled, be molded in your image. You are a leader. You are a role model for the entire world. That's pretty much what it means. Tochnis, and we have over here this word, which is, what does this mean, tochnis?
A perfect
pay this French word. Pasuk Yud Beis.
I know. Are you looking for the Rashi part?
Rashi, in Rashi, it says Tochnis. It gives us a French word.
Oh, back there. Okay, peinture, which means painting or engraving.
A painting. All right, but Mitsudos is a little bit more satisfying. It's a very hard word. It's a very hard expression. Tochnis will leave it now to mean something that is muchan. The shoresh of tochnis is chaf nun muchan, prepared. You have been prepared to be the choysam, the model. Tochin l'cho haderech, prepare the road for you. You represent a model, a role model for all that comes forth from you in the future. A chosam is a signet ring, is a ring which you seal. You press the impression that's in the chosam onto clay, onto other things that whatever comes in contact should resemble the source. And you are the source. You are the tochnis. And you are choisem all things that come in the future, and which means your mali chachma v'chalul yofi radak pasuk yudin yud aleph pasuk yud beis in radak ben adam at choisem tochnis mashlim ha tochnis. So he translates the word choisem a little differently. You conclude the tochnis. He doesn't say what ki kula shalim.
That's what he's using as an example.
The contents.
Yes.
Very helpful.
The tochnes shem b'shekel gofris. He has a perush toichen kol hachochmois. The toichen means the essence. It's a different translation. The akavoid v'oyishev v'chein perush molei chochmoch l'yoyfi v'yonos antir game at domei limona, to a utensil, the tsurta that has been formed, the sakan that has been prepared, been established, the chochmo umish that has been perfected b'shufrei, with beauty. So the first interpretation that the Radak prefers is the essence. You are the essence of wisdom and beauty. The chosam tochnis is an expression, yes, according to the other, the Targum, we said before, it means that you have been established. You are the model. The model, what it's been, the prototype. The thing is the prototype of all chokhmah and all beauty. Now let's Rabbi Kanner, he mentioned over here the Malbim. Okay, the Malbim over here is a nice little Malbim. He puts things back in perspective. In perspective of what we said before. So let's just read very quickly. In the Malbim, Pasuk Yud Beis, Sakin al Melech Tzar, Chazal b'Medrash Amru. Okay, no chidushim here. Just to review the yisodos. Amru shachiram oyhavoy shel Shlomo haya. Okay, he was Shlomo's best friend. Chai haya chai. He lived haya chai at ha'esai. He lived for over 400 years. The nerag miyad nevuchadnezzar, in the hands of nevuchadnezzar, v'yesh b'medrash shachiram nichnas chai legan Eden, like we learned before. The whole zehoitzil mi psukim shemakana. We're going to derive all that from the psuk that we're going to read in the future. Now we read before. Before we said that he's going to die. The negid of the previous psukim was put to death. Nimosei cholol belev yamim. The melech of tsar, it's going to go on to say, is in Gan Eden. It is mamish. The words, he's sitting in Gan Eden with all of these fancy stones and their kruvim, their birds, and all these things around him. All these mystical ideas. Ugviya pshat. According to the Pshat, the Malbim says, "Chiram Shemei Shlomo Zochol L'Chavoyd Godol Mitzad SheNichnas BeBrisim Davar Shlomo." What's the reason? This all goes back. We start with when we do 2 or 3 parakim before. It's because he entered into a covenant with David Hamelech and Shlomo Hamelech. The Ozar. This is the key side of this. All these parakim. The Ozar BeBinyan Hamigdash. He was the one that assisted in building of the Beis Hamigdash. Veheminu, and he believed. He had confidence. Ki zocha leishe began Eden atachtoin kichol chasidi umos olam, that he will live in it. There's a Gan Eden ha'elyon and a Gan Eden atachtoin. The Gan Eden in this world, and he merited this in reward for building the Beis Hamikdash. V'sheyesh lo sham eser chupois, in this Gan Eden there are 10 different canopies. V'achar shemes lo kiblu ha'am melech acher rak masru hanogas amdina biyad nogid. Okay, so according to the Malbim, after the Melech died,
after that
Chiram, the Chiram of Shlomo, who was entered Bebris David and Shlomo, and was beloved, and assisted in building the Beis HaMikdash, he had Gan Eden at Tachlim, but he died. The people of the country loved him so much, they could not see themselves appointing a replacement. They could not see themselves having another Melech to replace their beloved king. So what did they do? Rak Moshu Hanhogas HaMedina B'yad Nogid. That's why the Nogid is not the same thing as the previous parent. Udumus Diyukno Shel Chiram. He says something very bizarre, his image. Siru Shayoshev al Kiso, they formed, he's sitting on a throne. The Asoro Chupois Olav Miavonim Toivosh Kasha Yoshev Began Eden. And in this image, they showed him with 10 canopies, sitting upon stones, very precious stones in Gan Eden, as we'll see in a few moments. Gam Tsiroi, they also formed the image, Digloi Bidimus Kruv, his flag was the flag of an angel, Ha'asui Me'atzei Shemen, from whatever wood this is, Ha'sechech Al-Ha'orain Da'atzei Shemen, which was the same material used for the Kruvim. Kasher Nasu Shnei Kruvim Me'atzei Shemen Amru Shecha Merameitz Al-Shlomo V'yachad Al-Chiram, isn't this amazing? Sheshtate Bibinyone, this is an amazing album. We know that in Sefer Melachim, Shlomo HaMelech, he made two massive kruvim, in addition to the kruvim that hovered over the Aron, okay, which is the Kapoires, which has kruvim. So Shlomo made these massive, it was 10 amos tall, humongous kruvim made from Atzei Shemen. What's the purpose of these kruvim? It's a big mystery. It doesn't really say why did Shlomo HaMelech do this. What's wrong with the kruvim of the Aron that's on top of the Kapyrus? Why did he make these massive two kruvim? And he also made 10 more menorahs, 10 more shulchanos. He did all these bizarre things. He made the Yam Shel Shlomo, and he made more, the kiyar of Moshe was not enough. He made another additional 10 more kiyarim with fancy bases and wheels. All of the Sefer Melachim, you learn about the Tzur of the Bayis Rishon, it's very, very different than what we're used to from the Bayis Sheni, because the Bayis Sheni did not have all of these things in the Bayis Sheni. So here, this Malbim says that the reason why there were two Kruvim in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one Kruv represented Shlomo, and the other Kruv represented Chiram. Could you imagine such a thing? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's a Zecher made by a label. This space on HaMikdash has it made by Shlomo and by Chiram. Where? In the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself. What? I mean, how bizarre can you get in this, right?
Was it one of the female?
What? Doesn't really say. That was on top of the Aron. On top of the Aron HaKodesh, the Kapoy, which was teeny. The Aron HaKodesh was 10 Tzvachim. It's teeny. And the Kapyrus was also very, very small. It doesn't say exactly how tall the Kapyrus was, but we can't imagine it was much more larger than the Aron. But these other two Kruvim were massive, 20 feet.
And they were made out of wood.
I think it was also plated. It was made out of wood covered with gold, if I'm not mistaken. It was made out of wood covered with gold. Atzei Shemen, between 15 and 20 feet. That's two stories. Two stories tall, with their wings hovering. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, one is Shlomo, and one is Chiram. You ever hear something like this before? What? I don't know the answer. No function. Just to be there.
A cornerstone
in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place, the holiest place. Okay. So look, the digla b'demus kruv v'asim yasi shemen. This is really off the charts. Ma'atzei shemasech al aron kasher nasu shnei kruv yasi shemen amru. She'echad merameiz al Shlomo, the echad al Chiram. One was Chiram. Sheshtate bibinyonai. The chol ze yichasu lo yichasu o lidmoso o shel shivu ish chacham yifei toyer tachtov. So all of this was related to him, and they made now a replacement when they had to go. V'lo osak b'hanogas hamedina kilu hu chiram hayeshu began edin v'karu oiso melech tzar ki hu chiram bi'atzmo lufi dim yoinam v'acha sheni be'al negit tzar shu hoisek b'hanogas hamedina ni be'al melech tzar shu hoye elohi. she was a god, v'kadosh etzlam, and holy by them. So the replacement was a figurehead that represents a reminder of the good glorious days of when Chiram was alive. They viewed Chiram as their god, and they had murals all over the country depicting what he looked like, and the Kruvim, the Beis Hamikdash. And this other person was just a negid which was given a role in the country, and therefore that's why, according to the Malbim, that is why we have two different prophecies, one concerning the negid we learned before, and now we're going back in time and we're referring to the king, the Melech of Tsar himself. Okay, now let's go further. Next part. Now we describe over here exactly the glory of the Melech Tsar, according to the Malbim, who this person was. Be'eden Gan Elokim Hayisa. You were living in the Garden of Hashem. Now this is the Gan Eden HaTachtoin, as the Malam said, not the Gan Eden in Shemayim. Kol Even Yikara Misuchasecha. All precious stones served as a shelter, as a canopy. Oidem, these are the stones, you find these stones on the Choshen. Oidem, I don't know what these stones are, the Pitta, the Yahaloim, Tarshish, Shoyam, V'yoshei, Sapir, Sapphire, that would be Luchois. The Luchois were made from Sapir. Neufech, okay, Uvorkas, V'zohav. Now here we come to a very important part of the passage. This is interpreted in different ways. A lot of Midrash on this. Meleches Tupecha Uniko Vecha Bach. The work of musical instruments. Tupecha means drums. Drums that you bang together. Tufim. What? Okay, Miriam. Unikovecha means holes. And that means flutes. Flutes, trumpets, anything which, any musical instrument which has a hole. You blow into it or you put your fingers on it in order to, in order to cause different sounds to come out. Musical instruments which have holes. Bach, meaning that you're living in Gan Eden. You're sheltered by a canopy of precious stones, and there's music, wonderful music that is being played continuously while you sit on your throne. B'yoyim, on the day he bora acha, on the day that you were created, koinonu, you were established. Now that's an expression which means is that you're perfect. From the very beginning you have been established, all of this was meant to be for you from the very beginning, from time immemorial. It's a very long pasuk. Let's see the pasuk Gimel Sus David. The Eden Gan. You were lacking nothing in your existence. On your royal garments was attached all precious stones, which include gold was also inserted into your garments. So he's learning very simple. We're not talking about a Gan Eden, something mystical, we're talking about over here. Very simple. The Mitzvah's Kedarka is telling us something very simple, that you had the most wonderful life man can ever have. You were lacking nothing. Your garments were the most beautiful with gold and precious stones. Meleches Tupecha. Now here we go. Maasei HaTupim. Drums. Veshor Klei Nigun. Other types of musical instruments. Hamalayim Nikavim Shahayu Becha. Ki'ilu Huchnu Lucha. It's as if these things were prepared for you. B'yom Shenivresa. Written in the Lamar. Ein Dugma Sam. There's no comparison to them or to them. V'lo ha'yemi royalis anik bohem elato. There was no one that was fitting to take the light in all the music and all the precious materials other than you, Chiroim. Okay, that is the parish of the Mitzudos Rashi. Rashi is now going to go off the deep end. Okay, you're going to go into some Targum. Okay, Rabbi Chol, you're going to have to help me over here with the precise translation.
The eight. Rabbi
Yonasan ben Uziel. So the Zuchusoy Yagin Elena, we're learning over here his words right now. How do we really know his yard site? It's really Shachtan and his yard site?
They know.
They really know his yard site?
Yeah.
Okay, I say. The Eden Gan Elokim Biskei. Okay, so here we go. Biskei Tov Visanukin. Okay, so Biskei means an abundance of goodness. Visafnukin means delicacies, pleasures. At mispanak, you were pampered. Ki'ilu as if the Eden ginsa the Hashem at shorei, as if you were living. Shorei means you're living in Gan Eden. Usra gave sa. Ushra, the ushra means what? The place or the wealth?
Yeah, wealth.
The wealth gave sa. What's gave sa of your ba'a your ba of what?
Gahava.
What?
Gahava.
Arrogance?
Pride.
The pride, the wealth of your pride, vikara, misyehevlach, due to the arrogance of your pride, the wealth of your pride was given to you, kol avnin tavan, all precious stones, misadran al levushoch, on your garment. So pretty much, you know, so pretty much I the Targum Yonis is saying, like what the Mitzuda said, same idea, is that you were given the most wonderful, pampered existence. Misucha secha chupascha, your canopy, loshnacher, levush kisuyoch, it means your garments. Meleches tupecha unikovecha bach, afal pishna satidro hakabat hazeh yodeh yisi. Okay, here we're going into a medrash. Rashi over here is going off the beaten path, that's not a continuation. That you were given, that you were surrounded with beautiful, with musical instruments. They were playing, there were musicians playing for you continuously in your canopy. But Rashi over here says you are extremely arrogant. And because of your arrogance, Hashem, I was disgusted with mankind, and I had to create for them holes in their body, create a reality, a mitzias, that man defecates. Okay, we mentioned this when we started before, and we mentioned this from Sefer Yirmiyah, and whatever we have in Yirmiyah here, we have a parallel here in Sefer Yecheskel. I don't know, we have in Sefer Yecheskel as well. Now, the afal pish in even though I gave you all this honor, I knew you become arrogant. The asisi, therefore, I made b'chon you meleches tupim unikavim. Now, tupim unikavim. Now, what does it mean? Tupim, drums. I guess that means the stomach is like a big drum.
The sounds
of when a person relieves himself. So there are these unpleasant sounds that come unukavim hamotzim ruach b'kol zemer, that produced ruach b'kol similar b'kol zemer kisoif, like the sound of a drum, but it's not so pleasant. And that should have been the source of humbling yourself. This is, we mentioned, we discussed at length a few days ago, is that the fact that a human being releases waste is a device that Hashem created to remind man of his mortality, that he's a human being, that he is not a god. And we always find that gods always make believe that they don't have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Like Paro. Hine yoytze hamayma. Where will you find Paro? You'll find Paro at the Yam Suf.
Maybe that's why it's called the throne.
The what? The throne. Where is Paro? Paro is going out in the morning. Paro made himself into a god. The way in ancient times, the way you make yourself into a god is to show the people you don't have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Only human beings have to go to the Beis HaKisei. Gods don't. So Paro never went to the Beis HaKisei. There was no, can you imagine, in the palace, there was no Beis HaKisei. That shows that Paro is a god.
No plumbing.
So what did Paro do? In the morning, he went out for a walk. That's when he went to the Beis HaKisei. So he was a faker. He was a phony. And we learned the Medrash. We learned the Medrash that Moshe caught him red-handed going through the Beis HaKisei. Right. That's Rashi. Rashi says, go out in the morning, and Moshe caught him red-handed. And Moshe said, so you're not a god. So he says the Egyptians. So Paro himself says the bunch of fools, the Egyptians. I know I'm not a god. You know I'm not a god. But they're so naive. The Egyptians. I'm able to fool them, and I take advantage. I always want to tell you, it's one of those bizarre midrashim where Paro acknowledged he's a phony, but he just takes advantage of the naive and foolish Egyptians to make believe that he's a god. But this idea is something which Chazal emphasized, and we learned from Tsar, is that this mitzias, why did Hashem have to make it that man needs to go to the Beis HaKisei? Why? The body is so super complex. Scientists have no understanding of even a teeny fraction of the functions of the body. And so Hashem couldn't go all the way where the body will not need to release waste. Why? Why does it have to be like this? It's done by design to make man, to humble man. You're a creature, the mortality, you produce waste, it is something which has a repugnant odor, you make funny sounds, you suddenly, you're crippled. when Mother Nature calls, right? You got to do.
I got to run.
There are many, many examples and many dimensions of the humiliation that it brings upon man, the fact that a person has to go to the risk. You know, astronauts, they wear diapers. Do you know that? They wear diapers, and even pilots sometimes have to wear diapers. They can't, because they can't leave.
Executives make executive bathrooms.
What?
The executives make separate bathrooms.
Sarah Bear. It's in the whole world revolves around this. And parallel to this is Klal Yisrael. When they were in the Midbar, they were Bnei Elokim. Hashem calls them Bnei Elokim. You're sons of God. Why? They ate the man. And when you ate the man, the lechem abirim, there's no waste. So that's the ultimate way to become a God is to be the children of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You eat the man. There's no waste.
And that's why Terach ran into the earth, because he was such a guy that they had to dump him really
like the, all right, whatever. I'm not sure I understand that, but... all right, but this...
I'm not sure he does either.
This is very, very... This is a powerful insight. Paro with Moshe meeting Paro for the first time. Klal Yisrael, the man in the Midbar. Hashem says, I gave you, you are the prototype of human beings, mankind. Yet, your arrogance is so great because I saw this in advance, I had no choice but to put within your biology, tupecha unikovecha. I had no choice but to create drums to make funny sounds, and holes, what is it called, orifices in the body in order to release waste. And Rashi over here says that's the pshuta shel mikra in this pasuk. Let's see the Radak, and then there are more midrashim which we'll get to. I think, in fact, some of what it says over here is, like we mentioned, is the nusach of the Asher Yotzar. The nusach of the Asher Yotzar is hidden, is hinted to in the targum of this pasuk. Let's see the Radak. Radak over here says pasuk yud gimel be'eden. Okay, there's a very long, I don't have time because we're out of time. Let's just look at the targum and then we'll stop, because it's already 1 hour. And you see over here like a little bit of a hint to the Asher Yotzar Bracha. Biskei Tov, okay, we really did most of it already in the Rashi, let's read it again. Biskei Tov Visafnukin, to do the abundance of good and the pampering, delicacies, at mispanak, you've been pampered, kilu be'edin ginta d'Hashem at sharei kol usra, all wealth gave sa, of arrogance, the Quran, honor, of wealth and greatness and honor, misyehev loch, has been given to you. Wealth, greatness, and honor has been given to you. Kol avnin tovin, good stones, misadon al levushach. And it goes on over here, tell you what the stones are, which I have no idea. This is samkon, yarkon, this sav haloim, kiruv, kum yamo, different colors. Uvurlo ufan tirin, shiv zevs is morag din, uvarkon, mish. Meshak on b'dahav, gold called Elaine, Evidas. All of this was done tikunach. All of this was done for your benefit. B'chein re'em libach. But what happened? That he's all this is adding into the pasuk. Doesn't say this. Doesn't say this in the pasuk. Now the targum is coming to embellish the pasuk with words that are not present. B'chein, however, re'em libach. Your heart became very arrogant. Biram lo istakalt befigroch. You did not look at your body, at your carcass. The at ovid chalolin. Because what are you? You're nothing more than holes. Chalolin v'nikvin. Okay, you are chalolin. Asher yotzar es v'nchochlo cavities. Chalolin v'nikvin, the inun tzrichin, which are needed. The law is if sharloch the hiskayam, if sharle hiskayim v'lamol lefonecha below v'hon. Miyoyim from the day the ispiresa, from the day that you were created, imach from the day that you were created, imach misaknin, you have been created. Okay, I didn't translate every word precisely, but the basic gist over here is that because of your arrogance, Hashem saw to it to put into your body holes.
Or you didn't, because you didn't think about this aspect of your physiology.
That's why you got so arrogant. Mm-hmm. So, and Halel Hashem describe all of these holes in your body and these drums and all of these cavities, they've been created from the day the loy ef shor loch the tiskayam beloy v'hoin. You cannot exist without the so exactly. So you see over here all these expressions. You see the word chalolin, which is what we say in the Asher Yotzar. Chalolim, 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 nikavim, nikavim. You see the word nikvin, and you see the word deloy, deloy ef shaloch the iskayam beloy v'hoin. Ef shaloch iskayim v'lamol lefonech. And some of the words are filu shachas. So you see clearly that the nusach of the Asher Yotzar has been extracted from this targum, and so now you have more of an appreciation. We're dealing with chiram. When you say the Asher Yotzar, come out of the Beis Akisei, you think about Chiram. You think that he became arrogant because he built the Beis HaMikdash and Hashem's new Eden in Gan Eden, and I had to invent all of these things, and we now have an appreciation of power, an appreciation of what it means to eat the man, and Targum Yonison. So today's the yard side of the Targum Yonison. So the very least we can do is that when we come out of the Beis Akisei, we should say the Baruch of Asher Yotzar with Kavana, remembering that the Nusach comes from the Targum Yonasan ben Zil, and that should be an aliyah for the neshama of the Yonasan ben Zil, and in that schus, he should go and be megin upon all of us. Amen. And that we will stop here.